Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 48. This is the reading of God's word. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, Thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear so that we could truly hear your voice through your word. And Father, we thank you that the Holy Spirit in us will work with that word that is being preached to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship of heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly and all of us not only hear your word, but also believe and also obey. Let us live the holy life that you have called us to live. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Lord, our gracious Lord, resurrected Lord, he comes to his disciples who were hiding together for fear of this world. He said to them, "Peace be to you." God's peace is given to them. God's peace that surpasses all comprehension. God's peace that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus is given to them. John chapter 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Thus all fear and hopelessness go away. God's grace is being poured out upon the disciples who still do not clearly understand the scriptures at this point. And Jesus comes to them and opens their minds to understand the scriptures. Verses 44 and 45. "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." We already saw this a few weeks back. All scriptures are concerning Jesus Christ. All scriptures are written about Jesus Christ. And all scriptures testifies about Jesus Christ. Now Jesus comes to them and opens their minds to understand the Bible. They now know and believe that all scriptures are about Jesus Christ. And in verses 46 and 47, that's our focus today, Jesus summarizes the whole scriptures that is about himself. So let's begin. 46 and 47. "And he said to them, 'Thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. So Jesus, like in a very simple form, summarizes what the whole Bible is about. First, Jesus would suffer, meaning Christ would suffer. He would die to pay for the sins of his people. And that is what is going on as he dies on the cross. He is paying for the penalty of all the sins of his people. So first, Jesus would suffer. And second, Jesus would die, but he will rise from the dead on the third day. Christ will resurrect from the dead. Now, Jesus tells us here three things. First, Christ will suffer, but second, he will rise from the dead. So as you already know, that these two things are already happened. Now, of course, Jesus is simplifying things here, obviously. When we understand the scriptures well, not only that we will know Christ had to suffer, but we will also know clearly the meaning and the purpose of his sufferings and his death. We will also know clearly the meaning and the purpose of his resurrection. And we already talked about these things, so let us move on. But let's remember, like we said, these two things are already happened. Only the third thing is remaining. And verse 47, that third thing. And that repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. And we see the same thing in Acts chapter 26, verse 22 through 23. Paul says, "So having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place." And what are those things? Verse 23. "That the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he will be first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." Pretty much the same thing as what our passage is saying. And as you know already, this third thing has already begun, but it is still going on. And it is not completed. Which means this is something that God's church must continue to do. This is what our church must do. Yes, and again, Jesus in our passage told this third thing in a very simple terms. But there are other passages in the Bible which you will see explain the same idea, same truth in more detail. And one of those places, Matthew 28. And you are very familiar with this passage, right? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Before we go into that passage, let me read John 20, verse 21 and 23, saying the same thing, but more close to what we see in book of Luke. John 20, verse 21 through 23. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of many, they have been retained." This is the third thing that Jesus says what church must do. And he says it in so many different ways, but he's saying the same thing. It's to spread the gospel to the end of age. Now, it is very important for us to understand Matthew 28, because I believe that so many people are familiar with that passage and does not truly know what it's actually saying. Matthew 28, it clearly tells us what God's church must do. The task of God's church is to establish his churches. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, God says the church is to do three things. We call this passage Great Commission. And so many times it is used to motivate you individually to go out and do evangelism. But one of the things that Matthew 28 says for you, if it is actually talking to you individually, it says for you to go out and baptize. And you need to realize, wait a minute, God is not telling me to go out and baptize. So you need to understand that whole Great Commission is not given to individual Christians. But that's how it is used so many times. But you are involved in that Great Commission. Definitely, every Christian must be involved. But these specific three things, God is not telling you to individually go out and do these things. Because obviously, you're not going to baptize anybody. So, three things. Make disciples of all nations. Second, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Third, teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. So make disciples. Do disciplining. Second, baptize. Sacraments. Third, teach the word. The word. So we have three things: word, sacraments, and discipline. And what are they? They're the marks of the church. Meaning, church must do these three things. So we have to do disciplining. That's why we have a membership and we discipline the whole church. Elders' job is to do that. And we are to do sacraments. We recognize two, right? Baptism and Lord's Supper. And the third, teach the word. Yes, we have to preach and teach the word. These are marks of the church. So Jesus is telling church to go out and establish church so that church can do these three things also. Because if you are doing these three things, you are doing what church is doing. So this is, we do this collectively, not individually, but we are all involved. But it's not something you could do on your own. Three marks of the church. Go and establish churches to do these three things. This is God's will for His churches. God's church must be established according to His word. And we're going to see this in the later sermon also when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Actually, we're going to start talking about Holy Spirit next Lord's Day. But everything has to be according to God's word. When you see what our church does, I don't care what it is, when you see, you know, what we do, and when you hear what we teach, make sure that all that is according to God's word. That's why I always tell you, very first membership class that I meet you, right? You remember, because I met all of you. Well, not all, but most of you. I ask you to ask me all the time, where is it in the Bible? Where is it in the Bible? And I must show you. If I cannot show you in the Bible, then why are we doing that? If God did not tell us to do. This is very, very important, guys. It's only the things that God commands that church must do. We cannot make things up because we feel like, oh, this will be a good thing. How do we know? We're sinful. Only way that we know what we'll do will please God is when Bible says it. Then we have confidence if we do that, God will be pleased. And the government of the church must be set up according to His word. And this is God's will, and His will be done. And Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, at the end, promises His churches, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So think about this. He says, I'm going to be with you. And He's telling His church to go out. As His church goes out to the ends of the earth, Jesus says, I will be with you. Meaning what? He will go out to the ends of the world. But He will use you. And we're so thankful that He's going to use us. But you need to remember, the Great Commission is a work of God. It's not something we could do. And you will see that next Lord's Day. You know, Jesus says, don't do it yet. You wait until Holy Spirit comes. Why? Because we cannot do it our own strength. Is it God's work? Oh yes, He will use us. And we're so thankful for that. But He doesn't need us, but it is His will to use us. But always remember, it's His work. He will go to the ends of the world. So He uses His church in His work to do this third thing. Now let's come back to the book of Luke. That repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This is what His church must do. Church must proclaim to all the nations the repentance for forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. Now, we saw this before, but this repentance of God's people is a participation of the repentance of Jesus Christ for His people. What I'm saying is that even when it comes to repentance, you and I, we cannot repent perfectly. then how can he receive our repentance? Well, in Jesus Christ. Think about it. When did you ever repent perfectly? So you think that that was worthy for God to accept, even though it wasn't perfect? You know, when I repent, I sometimes repent even as I know that I'm going to do it again. Without Christ, we have no confidence. Without Christ, we have no peace. Mark chapter 1 tells us of that the baptism that Jesus received from John the Baptist is called what? Mark chapter 1 verse 4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So the baptism that Jesus receives from the John the Baptist is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. You and I, we already know that Jesus is sinless. Thus, he does not need the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But he is receiving it in our places. We see this a lot in the Old Testament. You know, like priest or king. They're repenting the sins of God's people. They're not repenting of their own sin, but they're actually repenting for the sins of God's people. And I could show you many passages in the Old Testament that the leaders of Old Testament doing this. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. Just like he died on the cross, even though he didn't have to die, he was sinless, but he's dying in our places. And in order for all the nations to hear the proclamation of the repentance for the forgiveness of sin, the church must preach the word of God. Of course, the nations will gain the knowledge of it by reading and studying the Word of God on their own. But the focus here is God speaking to them through the preached Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." You know, there are so many things we could say about this verse. God says, our preaching, the foolishness to the world. See, our job is not to make our message is so wonderful to the ears of this world. When they hear it, they go, "Whoa, that is awesome." No, if you truly preach the gospel, it will be foolishness to them. So our job is not to make our message something that the world wants to hear. No, but that is God's will to save the people whom he has chosen. Even though it will be foolishness, but the Holy Spirit is now working in them to make them believe and accept. This is why before God says, go out, he says, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. See, through the foolishness of the message preached, it is through the preached word of God that the repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to all the nations. Thus, these sinners who would repent of their sins through the preached word of God will be the members of the church and be disciplined by the church. This is done through the government of the church, which is set up according to God's word. Of course, this work of the church includes so much more, and they are not clearly stated here, but if we study the rest of the Bible, then more and more is revealed to us. At the very last verse in the book of Acts, we see what the church must teach. Acts chapter 28, verse 31. Preaching, see, Paul was in the homebound prison, but what was he doing? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. So he did two things: preaching the kingdom of God, teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching and teaching the kingdom of God, meaning heaven, and teaching Jesus Christ. Heaven and Christ. In case you don't know, you didn't know, this is where our church's name is come from, because we must preach, teach Christ and heaven. Because that's exactly the very last verse of Acts. So, our name, Christ and Heaven, OPC. The repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. See, this repentance, it is for forgiveness of sins. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 3, verse 19, "Therefore repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." For this forgiveness of sins, then, our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Matthew 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, Jesus' promise in our passage is that beginning from Jerusalem, the repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in His name to all the nations. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, this is the will of God. This is His plan from the very beginning. Acts 8, verse 1, "Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Even when people don't want to spread out, God forced them to spread out so that His word will be spread out. God's plan is being carried out, whether they like it or not. Acts 26, verse 20, "But kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. From the very beginning, the Gentiles are included in God's salvation. Even from the Old Testament, this is clearly promised. Isaiah 49, verse 6, he said, It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved one of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Acts chapter 13, verse 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nations. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. For there is no distinction between Jews and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Only in the Old Testament you see the division, earthly division. But just like everything else, the heavenly reality was expressed with earthly things in the Old Testament. God's kingdom, well, earthly Israel. The eternal temple, well, earthly temple. Heaven, well, land of Canaan. God's people, Jews. Understand what God's word is telling us. Old Testament is a typological. God used all the earthly things to point to the heavenly things. But when Jesus comes and he fulfills everything, those typological things are passed away. Because the real thing has come. So we don't talk about land of Canaan as a promised land. Now heaven is the promised land. When it comes to God's people, same thing. In the Old Testament, it was ethnic Jews. But now, it's a spiritual Jews. God says, if you are in Christ, you are heir of Abraham, according to his promise. So remember, from the very beginning, God doesn't change. He did not change his plan. It was always his plan. The whole world is included in his salvation. Now, this forgiveness, the repentance of for the forgiveness of sins, is in his name. Only in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you must be saved. Only Jesus Christ. And verse 48 says, you are witnesses of these things. The disciples, they are the witnesses of Jesus' death and resurrection to the all nations. We read this before, Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Acts chapter 5, verse 32, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So through the witness of the Holy Spirit with God's word to us, using his people, through that we have also become his witnesses of these things. Revelation 11, God uses two witnesses as the symbol of his whole church. But as we must always remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is the true witness. You know, you have to think this way. Whatever you believe you are, whatever God tells us what you are or who you are that because you are in Christ. Because Christ is ultimately that. That is why you are now also that. Jesus is the true witness. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. That's how it's described there. So we are his witnesses only in him. Isaiah 43 verse 10, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. So you could see all Christians are called as witnesses of Jesus Christ. But only in the true witness, Jesus Christ. That's why we are kings. We are kings, but we are kings because Jesus is the true king. We are prophets because Jesus is the true prophet. We are priests because he is true prophet. He's the reason, he's the purpose, he's the motivation, he's the meaning, he's everything. Okay, let's move on. We're almost there. I know it's hot, but just hang in there. Let's wrap this up then. Here we see the glorious grace of God in this passage. Because when you think about it, disciples, they are called as the witnesses of Jesus Christ. They are called to proclaim the repentance for the forgiveness of sins in his name to all the nations. But if you remember these disciples, they denied Jesus. And they have forsaken Jesus Christ. And yet they are still called to participate in his glorious work of gathering his people unto God. And this is what amazes us. This is why we could have the same hope. Because he saved you already, that you are his child. He will never forsake you. I don't care how great sin you have committed. You repent and come back to him. And he calls you to participate in his glorious work. For example, Apostle Paul, you know, he pursued those who were following Jesus Christ and has even participated in murdering the followers of Jesus Christ. But in Acts chapter 26, verse 17 and 18, as Paul is sent, this is what we read. Rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Paul was sent to open their eyes. But we heard that phrase before. Jesus Christ, resurrected Lord, came to his people, and he's the one who opened their eyes. And this is the amazing grace. Paul, who calls himself the chief sinner, and yet he's called to do exactly the same thing that Jesus Christ has done. Meaning, he's called to do exactly the thing that Jesus Christ is still doing. Paul is called to participate in the glorious work of Jesus Christ, gathering God's people into the kingdom of God. Glorious grace of God. Again, we see Jesus Christ loving his disciples to the end. He does not forsake his disciples who have forsaken him and denied him. But we have to remember that the command to go to the ends of the world to be his witnesses is his command to his whole church, not just disciples. Now, when we hear the ends of the earth, I don't know why people think of Africa. I mean, think about it. Why is that? For you, why here is the ends of the world for you? Because it started at Jerusalem and it went all around the world, right? So why did Africa become the ends of the world? This is end of the world. Anywhere Christians are, it's the end of the world. So at your end of the world, obey God's command to be his witnesses. Yes, we are worse than the disciples. We fail and we are the cowards when it comes to being faithful to him. But we too are invited to participate in his glorious work of gathering his people. He calls us to participate in his work of opening the eyes of the people, explaining the scriptures, opening their minds to understand the scriptures. Exactly what our church is doing. This is why you go out and share the gospel and bring the people here so that they could hear the word of God preached. No, God is not telling you to preach. God is not telling you individually to baptize. But you could do that work by working together as a members of the church. We too proclaim and explain God's word. We must do this work diligently at our end of the world. And nothing wrong with you going to Africa. I mean, if God is calling you to do that, then do. But don't think that only that place is the end of the world. The whole world is the end of the world. We must do this. And this is God calling whole church to do this. But it says, but verse 48, not yet. Stay in Jerusalem. they must wait until the Holy Spirit comes. And that, verse 49, we're going to see that next week. So we have to end here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We see God the Father planning all things, and we see in the book of Luke, Jesus Christ coming as a man, but at the same time God, fulfilling our eternal salvation, accomplishing our eternal salvation. And now, next week, we're going to see the Holy Spirit coming. We thank you that through the whole Bible, you're showing us what you are doing and how we are called to participate in the glorious work of our God. So let us truly understand what is going on around us, in our lives, in the life of church. Let's not just judge things according to our physical eyes, but let us truly understand what is really going on. Let us know that through your word, so that we may know what our lives are all about, what is really the work that we're doing, so that we may live by faith, that we may live according to your word. Bless us, God, and we thank you that you do bless us. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.